Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
We must have only the highest standards for those who work in our aviation system. I changed the Obama standards from very mediocre at best to extraordinary. You remember that. Only the highest aptitude, they have to be the highest intellect and psychologically superior people, were allowed to qualify for air traffic controllers. That was not so prior to getting there. When I arrived in 2016, I made that change.
Yeah, that is obviously President Trump talking at the news conference regarding the terrible crash there at Reagan National and the loss of 67 people. The reporters obviously asked him what he thought might have played into it. He expressed his concern that a relaxing of standards might have played some role through these DEI programs, and now the mainstream media has just lost their ever-loving mind that he dared to suggest that. We've got Congressman Eric Burleson on the air with us this morning from the 7th District here in Missouri. Congressman, welcome in. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. Doing great.
Yeah, good to have you on this morning. First of all, let me get your reaction to that. If you look at the headlines this morning, all of the lamestream media, it can only focus on what Donald Trump said yesterday about hiring practices.
The truth hurts, right? And the truth is, this is not the first time that we've seen ultimate failure from this federal government. When you look back, let's look at the FEMA disaster, right, that happened. What was the number one mission of FEMA? It wasn't to hire competent people. It was to hire based on DEI. You had the Secret Service disaster. They let a teenager, take a shot at the president of the United States, and their number one priority wasn't keeping people safe. It was DEI.
Yep.
Same thing goes with this agency. Their focus was not hiring competent, talented, intelligent people. It's about making sure they have a diverse and equitable workforce. And the fact that they couldn't even hire enough people to do the job that was necessary.
Well, you know,
so
Trump
inherited all this.
I played the soundbite earlier from Brad Mims, who's one of the high ups at the FAA, pitching DEI and talking about the importance of diversity in the air traffic control system and all of that. That was from a year and a half ago under the Biden administration. So there's good reason to be concerned over this. I saw you retweeted something from The Blaze, one of their original movies that just came out, called Countdown to the Next Aviation Disaster. That came out back in November. Worried about when outdated technology and a shift toward DEI hiring practices will result in a disaster.
Can you believe that? I mean, it's eerie how accurate that was and the timing. But yeah, they were calling out the complete incompetence that was happening at the FAA even back in November. So this people need to look for that. It's The Blaze. You're right. I mean, it's crazy. And so that's why I think the argument has been made, and it's a credible argument, that the Biden administration left Trump with a completely broken bureaucracy, and something that, there's no wonder why Trump is trying to get people encouraged, as much of the workforce to quit as possible.
I know you mentioned understaffing, and that was what I heard in this situation that one air traffic controller was doing the job of at least two people, maybe more. I mean, how big of an issue is that? Maybe not just in this area, but in multiple agencies. How big of an issue is it where these organizations are not staffed like they should be, especially when it comes to these really critical positions?
Well, that there's staffing, and then there's the priorities of the office. And if your office is focused on, for example, the IRS, you know, they hired 87,000 new IRS agents. First, I would say that's probably their priorities are probably not what you and I would want them to be doing.
Yeah.
They're not providing responsive services to people who have questions. That's clear. What they are doing is auditing you and I, middle class Americans. And so what they're focused on is the real key. I mean, I think that you could streamline government, cut half the workforce, and still get a better outcome if you focus people on the right things.
Well, hopefully your friend Billy Long can fix part of that when he gets into the IRS, huh?
Absolutely.
We hope. Hey, you know, watching these confirmation hearings yesterday, I'm watching how they're treating Cash Patel, how they're treating Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. And, you know, the line of questioning is just insulting in many cases, because these three people would round out a cabinet that's got to be one of the most diverse cabinets any president's ever had.
Yeah, that's right. I think that it makes the Democrats look pretty shameful in their hostility towards, you know, two people that have served their country. And, you know, I posted, it's funny, the Babylon Bee had an article about, you know, that the Democratic Senate decides to jettison DEI for just one day.
Yeah, while they're questioning Tulsi and Cash Patel. I mean, I didn't realize the woman was practicing Hindu until she brought it up yesterday and suggested that there was some discrimination leveled against her because of her faith.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, our attitude is I don't care. I don't care what your religion is, as long as it's not going to be the hostile religion to kill me. But I think that's where we want to go to, is I don't care what your skin color is. I don't care what your lifestyle is. Or your religion, can you do the job? Mm-hmm. Let's get back to that.
Do you think all these picks are going to get through? I mean, who are you most concerned about at this point getting confirmed?
You know, Tulsi is kind of interesting because the Democrats, I think if they don't vote for her, they've got their excuses. They think that they're trying to say that they're questioning her loyalty. But they, at the end of the day, they're spurned because she was, you know, a member of Congress, she was a Democrat, and she left, and that's the one unforgivable thing, mm-hmm. right? So just look at how the left was treating Fetterman the other day on The View. They were very much like, you know, almost in a hostile posture towards
right.
him, because he's just even asking the obvious questions of, should we be focused on, you know, that there's problems within the Democratic Party.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're talking to Congressman Eric Burleson this morning. Congressman, I know you've introduced the bill that would abolish the ATF, and I know there are other challenges to the National Firearms Act, particularly when it comes to, how suppressors are handled and things like that. Is that getting any ground in the House? Do you have any commitment from Speaker Johnson that your bill will get voted on?
I don't have that kind of commitment yet. Look, whenever I was a state member in the Missouri House, I first sponsored constitutional carry back in 2010, and everyone said, oh my goodness, that's never going to happen. Well, by 2016, we got it done.
Yes.
And we got it done by building momentum, changing the narrative, moving the Overton window, and talking about something other than gun grabs, other than laws that took away your gun rights. We were talking about giving them back. And that's what I'm doing here. I've moved the Overton window. Now they're on defense. The ATF is having to justify their very existence. And it didn't look good, especially when they changed their DEI officer. They just changed her title subtly and kept her in place. So this is an agency that has got that is on the defense instead of what they've been doing the last few years, which is pass new regulations that make it difficult for you and I to have a firearm.
Yep, it's a great point. Congressman Eric Burleson from the 7th Congressional District, have a great weekend, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, great having you on again. We appreciate that. You know, I saw Bob Onder last night at the event I went to at Defiance Ridge Winery for the school board candidates and Francis Howe. He flew out of Reagan National 2 hours before that plane crash happened. He said they just got out of there before the airport shut down the other night, and what a tragedy that has turned out to be there, for sure. Coming up, Jim Carafano. Want to get his thoughts on maybe the plane crash and what's going on right now with Russia and Ukraine. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Hopefully one day, if Donald Trump is before the Hague, in some kind of international criminal tribunal, this can be played. This would be one of the great acts of one of the great war crimes, one of the great human rights abuses of our time.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx. Welcome
to the jungle. Yeah, we got Jim Carafano from the Heritage Foundation on with us this morning, and great to have you here. That was a guy named Peter Beinart, in case you're not familiar with him, Jim, and he thinks Donald Trump should be tried by The Hague for suggesting that Gaza's neighbors over there, Egypt and others, should take some of these Gaza refugees.
Well, I think that's nonsense. I don't know what the guy is, but he's certainly not a qualified international lawyer. Part of the problem is there's a reason why nobody wants Gaza refugees. Nobody wants that problem imported into their country.
Right.
So I'm not sure there's going to be a lot of takers for this idea, but you know, there's always a subtext to the president's things. What he is making a point to Gaza and all the Middle East, like, dude, you have no options here. And you're either going to play ball with the United States and Israel and throw Hamas out, or you have no future. It's just like the Gitmo thing. Whether one guy goes to Gitmo or not, which, by the way, and I've been to Gitmo, there's a massive refugee facility there that's always one of our op plans, is when we have a bunch of people, we have to do something with them, we put them in Gitmo, not in the prison part, but in the camp. Okay, so we did this after the boat lift from Cuba, if you remember, a couple of years ago.
Yes.
We needed a staging area for that. So Gitmo's always been there. But just saying that I'm going to send these guys to Gitmo, a lot of these guys are going to get on their mopeds and they're going to leave the country.
Yeah, that's true, because, I mean, their countries don't want them back, though. Isn't that part of the problem? We think they're going to go down there and turn right around and come back.
But this is the thing. Well, they have to get back in the United States.
Yes.
That's going to be a challenge. But the thing is, the countries don't want them back. But if their choice is sneak back into their own country, Or stay here and possibly wind up in Gitmo, and if nobody will take them, they'll be there forever. I kind of know what they're going to do.
Jim, I have to ask you for a minute about this plane crash. I can't imagine the thousands of times you've flown in and out of Reagan over the years, and you see the helicopters going up and down the Potomac all the time there. What's your take on this crash?
Well, when you have a system of safety that only works when everything works perfectly, that's a risky system. I spent a lot of time in helicopters. I spent a lot of time on planes. Listening to many experts who have flown in that airspace and talked about analyzing what's happened, it seems pretty obvious it's going to come down to human error, and human error, possibly made by a couple of different people. And if one of those people had done something different, none of this might have happened. But because maybe a couple of people made wrong decisions at the same time, you wind up with catastrophe. So I think it's fair to say that systematically, we should go through and lower the threshold on the assumption that everybody has to do their job perfectly. So certainly the president's focus on the FAA and the focus of the FAA not being highly qualified personnel, fully manned, because we know, for example, now that the tower was undermanned on the day of the accident.
Yes,
that's part of the problem. That's got to be addressed. And each one of these things where a human error happened, we need to lower the threshold so human error is less likely. So that may mean different protocols on the training missions for the Army, Air Force, certainly adjustments in the tower. But you know what? I'm going to see people flying out of Reagan. So there you go.
I mean, I've heard it was understaffed, and I think that played into it. But from what I've heard, the audio that's been released so far, it sounds like the one air traffic controller that was monitoring this whole thing was trying to warn the helicopter, move, there's a plane coming. Is there any reason to believe at this point that this could have been intentional?
I doubt that. If you listen to all the conversations, when the air traffic controller gave a warning to the plane, he didn't give a direction, and so some people are surmising that the pilots actually identified the wrong plane, which is quite possible because you actually look at the video. There's one taking off, even as the other one's landing. So maybe they thought they were looking at the right plane and they were cool. And they were missing it. I think the other issue, of course, is the altitude that the helicopter was at. Something doesn't seem right about that. But if you think about so many of the big catastrophes that we've had, like the space shuttle exploding and other things, how often it comes down to, it's not somebody makes a big, giant, tragic error, but a lot of people make a mistake. And that cumulative of all those things leads to a disaster.
Yeah. Jim, I saw a headline the other day about Donald Trump trying to talk to Vladimir Putin about what's going on in Russia. Have you seen any movement in that area at all?
I think Putin is dying on the vine. I actually think, and this is a new assessment for me, I think we've reached a point where Putin is afraid to negotiate. Because he has such a weak hand.
Wow.
And so he is, at this point, he's like, I'd rather just kill Russians and North Koreans endlessly and hope something changes rather than go to the table and make a deal, because I can't make a good deal with Donald Trump and Zelensky.
Interesting. Yeah, certainly a different look at it there. I'd not even consider that. Jim, out of time, my friend. Have a great weekend.
And you too. Best voices on terrestrial radio on this planet. I don't know about other ones. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jim. Jim Carafano there, a senior advisor to the president at the Heritage Foundation. Always love getting him on here, and he knows how to lay it on. We appreciate that. Thank you, Jim. Coming up, we were going to get to former Senator Bill Igel. We have delayed that until Monday. We're going to reschedule Bill for Monday and get him on here first thing Monday morning with a big announcement he's about to make. We will get to Kim on a Whim coming up next hour. Dennis Hancock on his trials with Sam Page at the county council level. We'll be back.
Delays caused by shortages in air traffic control staffing. Delays that I'm sure many of my colleagues have also experienced. We must roll back the Biden administration's woke DEI policies and put the needs of our public aviation system before the far left's political agenda. I urge the
Yeah, just so you know, the date on that, and it looks like it's something from C-SPAN, was July 19th of 2023. It was a member of Congress pointing out the flaws of the Biden administration and their Secretary Buttigieg and the new policies they put in place for the FAA specifically, that of course affected air traffic controllers as well. Because I've talked about this a couple times this morning, but if you're just joining us, so we do get audience turnover, I think it's important to point out Donald Trump didn't just randomly pull the DEI thing out of his rear end and mention it during this news conference, because it was already on his mind. This is something Republicans have been complaining about with the FAA for a couple of years.
I rise in support of my amendment. Secretary Buttigieg and President Biden's DEI initiatives, which hire and promote people based on their physical characteristics over their merits and qualifications, violate Title VII and the Constitution. In critical public safety roles, such as air traffic control, it is essential to have the best possible candidate based strictly on professional qualifications and merit.
Yep. She's complaining about the DEI. It's a congresswoman from Illinois, and she's complaining about DEI and the effect that it might have had. Now, you may say to yourself, well, this isn't the time. This isn't the place for this. Let me play something else for you in case you think that the Republicans were just making this up. This is a guy named Brad Mims. Brad Mims is the assistant director of within the FAA, an assistant director overseeing air traffic control specifically. This was in 2023. So 2 years ago now, coming up on 2 years since they started their DEI hiring effort with the air traffic controllers again. Listen.
Hi, I'm Brad Mims, Deputy Administrator at the Federal Aviation Administration. We are looking for the best and brightest to join us as air traffic controllers. We need a diverse group of air traffic controllers to bring distinct perspectives to handle the ever-changing aerospace landscape.
Because if you're diverse, I mean, you're going to understand that landscape better. You're going to do, it doesn't matter if you got 100% on your test or not. Maybe you only got 50%, but maybe that's not really capturing your true aptitude. Do you think, Kim, like in high school or college, could you imagine going up and arguing to the professor, you know, I know I only got a 50% on that paper, but I really feel like I'm at least a B student. Could you pass me on the test anyway?
Well, sometimes teachers and professors did do that when they would curve it. And now they are talking about that in schools where if you get, you know, 2 + 2 and you put 5, that somehow it's not wrong, right? They don't want you to feel sad if you are not at the same level as some of the other students.
When I hear you say that, I feel doomed. Because I know it's happening. I know it's happening. I know schools, in fact, you know, I'm at the Francis Howe Families event last night out at Defiance Ridge Winery. They're raising money for Randy Cook and Ashley Sturm, who are their two candidates they've endorsed for the school board out there. And they'll be running against a couple of Missouri NEA-endorsed candidates for those positions. And the question was focused on education. And one guy stood up and said, is it required that they give homework? Like, are they required to give homework and check homework? And these are people asking questions about curriculum. And I know for certain that in the Rockwood District, when my kids were still in the Rockwood District, they were basically, in many cases, not required to turn homework in. Like, it was optional. Homework was optional. Do you remember that? Like, I mean, that's insane to me.
And that was just always part of my day. You'd get home from school and you'd have to do your homework.
And then
before
you had to show your work the next day in class to show that you had done it. We have lowered the standards for education so much in this country that now we're in a situation where we don't have people with the basic skills to fill some of these jobs. I want to go back to this because I think it's important. Call it a flashback, call it whatever you want. The Washington Post was the only one truly covering this. Obviously, The Blaze ended up doing an entire documentary on it. Congressman Eric Burleson was talking about that earlier at the top of the hour. This is an opinion piece that was in the Washington Post in February 1st of 2024. And just let me read you a little bit of it. The disturbing rise in near misses at our nation's airport is no accident. A class action lawsuit by the Mountain States Legal Foundation has amassed a trove of documents shedding new light on an Obama-era FAA initiative that rejected prospective air traffic controllers based solely on their race. A 2013 FAA document, Controller Hiring by the Numbers, raised the issue in stark terms, asking, quote, how much of a change in job performance is acceptable to achieve what diversity goals? Think about that. So this they pointed out a year ago, we haven't had a fatal airline crash in the U.S. since 2009, but it's only a matter of time before that streak ends. The FAA recorded two serious near-miss runway incursions at Reagan National and Baltimore Washington International, and that would have been last year in 2023 at the time this article was written. Vigilance is waning because air traffic control towers are woefully understaffed. Listen, I'm not saying that's the only reason that this accident happened, but the point is it's not out of bounds for Donald Trump to talk about the impact wokeness might have had on this. The fact that they can't hire enough people has driven them to want to lower the standards to widen the pool of people. Somebody texted me this morning and pointed out that in their opinion, that they've done the exact same thing in the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department with their testing. They've lowered their standards, mm-hmm. their physical fitness testing. Everything is now on a point system. Because when you do that, you expand the candidate pool, mm-hmm. right?
Well, that's why a lot of jobs are trying to offer hybrid. And that's the argument that people are hearing when it comes to Trump ordering all these federal employees back to work, is these departments are saying, well, how are we supposed to stay competitive when other employers outside the federal government are offering a work from home schedule or hybrid? And people will just view that as more flexible. Yeah. So I do understand that argument. You know, I understand that at some degree you have to make it enticing enough to make people want to apply for those jobs and retain them.
Well,
because people are going to, it's not like, I say back in your day, I don't mean to make you sound old, but
yes, you do.
It's not like in my parents' day where people would stay at a job for 30 years. I mean, my generation, the millennials, we're not really loyal to the companies anymore. I'm not seeing that. Maybe feel a little more loyal than the average person my age. But people, if you find a better paying or more flexible job, buy. That's the general mindset these days.
I think you're right. You know, speaking of which, I just saw it on the TV screen out in the lunchroom this morning, Carl. Did you see my lovely face out there on the screen? I was on the screen in the lunchroom this morning.
Congratulations.
Congratulating me on February 28th of this year, so coming up next month, February 28th, will mark 15 years with this radio station.
Nice.
How about that? 15 years. That's longevity. That's the longevity you're talking about.
That's unusual these days, but you know what?
It's unusual in radio.
Well,
to be employed one place for 15 years. That's what's unusual. TV or radio these days, right? Mm-hmm. It's the industry you're in. But I will mention the fact back to this article. Their point here is that the guy that filed this lawsuit said they reduced the standards and went from a written test to some sort of verbal test with lower standards, and he didn't get the job even though he got 100% on the written test. They didn't hire him for the job, and he's suing them basically for reverse discrimination at the FAA for not hiring him. Here's the rest of what Brad Mims, assistant director at the FAA, had to say with his recruiting pitch.
I'm calling on students and alumni from HBCUs, Hispanic-serving institutions, and tribal colleges to apply now to become air traffic controllers. I don't want anyone interested to miss out on this amazing career opportunity. Make sure you complete your full application during our application window. The short application window ends on May 8th. We need a diverse, next-generation air traffic workforce with people from all backgrounds. So apply now.
You know, I just looked this up. It says the salary for an air traffic controller in St. Louis, of course, depends on location and the employer and experience. But it says as of January 19th of this year, the average hourly pay for an entry level air traffic controller was $22.81.
OK,
so it's not a very high salary. So maybe that's part of the issue, is that they're having, it doesn't in any way justify them lowering the standards, because my gosh, of all the positions that you need to make sure you're having qualified people, that would be one of them. Just like doctors, you know, I these doctors and nurses work really long hours, and sometimes that's scary because if you're tired, you're overworked, you're more prone to making mistakes.
Yeah, that's very true. Coming up next, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim. Next hour, we'll talk to Jane Duker. Speaking of perks, she's talking about the perks that are being funded by the Rams settlement money in the city of St. Louis. It's not going to public safety, but it's going to free daycare and maybe college education for city workers. We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
We were just talking about work, Mark, and different jobs and the demands that those jobs have. And, you know, one of the things that I think so many people want to try to attain is this work-life balance.
Yes.
That can be very difficult. If you have a stressful job, it's so easy to take the stress of that job back at home, and that can lead to issues. And then, you know, if you're dealing with something at home, that can seep into your work life. And that's challenging, too. You know, you're distracted, and that's tough. There's this show that my husband and I have watched a few episodes of, and it's pretty eerie. It's a little intense. So with everything going on in my life right now, I'm not sure I'm really wanting to continue watching all of it, but it is a very interesting concept, and it's Adam Scott's the main character in it, and you might recognize him from playing Ben in Parks and Recreation.
Yes.
This is part of the trailer for the show called Severance.
I give consent to sever my memories between my work life and my personal life. I acknowledge that once the procedure is complete, I will be unable to access my personal memories whilst on the severed floor.
Say gratitude.
Nor will I retain work memories.
Hey!
Sorry. When I return home at the end of the day. I make these statements freely.
So in this show Severance that came out in 2022, and it sounds like Carl's telling me they just released season two. I knew they had two seasons.
Yes.
I'm only on season one. But they're actually going in and they're having these devices implanted into their brains. Like they're cutting open their head and putting it in their brain. And then they essentially wake up. And when they wake up, they have no idea where they are. They're asked a series of questions. They don't know their name. They don't know where they're from because they're at work. So it's been severed from anything personal. So they wouldn't even have any sort of a recollection if they had a family. It's kept that different.
And in the real world, they know they work there.
They know they work there, but I don't even know that they could really describe in detail what they do there.
Because there's a dinner party where they're all talking about it, and he doesn't want to let anyone know that he works there.
Well, it's very controversial because this experiment, they say, is irreversible. And I understand, especially, like I said, in light of just what's going on right now in my life, I can very much understand wanting to not think about that at work and being able to compartmentalize that, but I would never go to that extent.
Well, like if it was top secret work you were doing, you know, maybe they want to argue that they didn't want them to have the ability to share what they did outside of the workplace. From watching the show, I don't remember that what they were doing was that top secret. Did you, Carl?
I think that's what happens when you find out once he starts leaving himself notes in his pants.
Yes, yes.
And then there might be something nefarious going on.
Because they search you when you leave and all that stuff to make sure you're not.
Metal detector.
Yeah.
Like if you're injured, what they'll do is they'll put a note on your car and they'll explain some fake reason why you were hurt. Because otherwise, you could have fallen at work or they could have beaten you at work and you had a huge gash on your head and you wouldn't know why.
That's the mystery, like what your sister was saying about the end of season one. Some questions are posed and answered.
Well, you know, you can do radio with half your brain tied behind your back. But I don't think I could do radio if I didn't remember what I did when I went home in the afternoons, because
what would you talk about?
My show prep is like
your life.
All my waking hours is my show prep. If I'm awake, I'm reading and consuming information that I use on the show.
Well, and I think, too, people who listen to this show, Mark, especially loyal listeners who listen every single day, I mean, sure, maybe the main reason is they want to be up on what's going on in the world and they want your take on it, or they want the commentary from a conservative lens. But the other part of it is you and I are opening up and sharing what's going on in our lives. And you know, people listening, they're welcoming us into their homes or their cars or wherever they're listening. And so, you know, it allows us to then share some of our lives, too.
Yes.
And so in this job, that would be boring if you didn't hear anyone's personal stories.
What's the name of it? Severance?
This is called Severance.
Which is what Donald Trump offered 2 million federal employees this week. Severance. Yeah. You can leave, and we'll give you 7 months of severance pay and not ask any questions in case you're one of those lazy people out there who's milked the system the last couple of years by supposedly working from home. Now you're going to be back in the office, or you're not going to work for the government anymore. So we can see you.
Yeah. I think people are going to say, I'm not coming back to the office.
Some will. Some will say that. And I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say many of them will be people of your generation, I think. People of my generation will be less likely, unless they're right on the cusp of retirement and want to take the money and run, they would be less concerned about having to go back into the office.
Yeah, I mean, if you're supporting your family, you're the sole breadwinner, that makes it very challenging.
Yes.
But if you were hired and told this is a remote position, the department's not even in your state, and that you could continue working that way, and then you're told you have to pick up your entire family and move halfway across the country, I would be upset. It's different if you started in the office and you were sent home during COVID and you just never came back. I don't really have sympathy for that. I do have sympathy for people who were hired under a premise of you get to work from home.
Yeah, well, I guess I could see more of that argument if you were hired knowing maybe that's why you took the job.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I love the flexibility with this job.
Those jobs are still out there. And maybe you can go find one in a private company somewhere. Coming up, Dennis Hancock, they tried to fire him from county council. The prosecutor, the circuit attorney, and the county executive were going after his job. And now that's all been settled, and we're going to talk to Dennis about it coming up in the next hour.
Get more at 971talk.com.